All right, welcome back. I'm so excited that you did that silly exercise. Silly, but in fact, impactful and amazing. Just like so many of the things we talk about. Simple names, simple things, simple shifts, but the little hinge swings a big door. And there's so many things cool about you, and I hope you spent the time to really dig in. It's not always the big things. Don't look for the home runs. Sometimes what's cool about you are the things that no one else knows. It's the things you do when no one's watching. It's the money you donate. It's the homeless person you help. It's the door you hold. It's the parent you are, the wife, the husband, the friend, the partner. Again, most cool things, most people don't know about it, but that's okay, you do. And these are these little building blocks to our next level of making sure the hero is in charge. Listen, will the villain fight to take ownership of you? Of course, but what we wanna do is keep making it less and less and less until finally the hero just runs your life. Right? We spent some time earlier in this course with the two pictures, right? We had so many of pictures that you guys have submitted that are amazing. But we talked about the two different avatars, the before you, the new you, right? And this, we talked about Gina Haredes, who she was a student of mine over a decade ago, amazing lady. What brought her back into my life as I saw her on a TV commercial with her husband. But these were her two pictures. And she did this exercise and she created the avatar. And remember I showed you this picture of me. That picture, the old picture is, you know, 13 years ago. It's not a bad picture, but it reminds me of a time when I was in a bad place, when my thoughts were absolutely through the lens of the villain, where everything could go wrong and I wasn't that smart and I had a horrible story and I forgot my why and I wasn't focusing on who I could be. I was looking in the rearview mirror. I was getting proof that I can't make it, that I'm not that smart. It was a tough spot. And then the picture on the other picture with me right now with my wife and my baby boy, Luca, where the hero is in charge most of the time, where I focus on what can go right and being a good husband and being a good dad and all those things. I want you to, at this point, think about those two pictures. Then name the old you and name the new you, or name the person that's not gonna be in charge anymore and the person you want in charge, right? We already did this exercise. I'm not rehashing it, but I'm gonna give you a little extra assignment here. Is I would love for you, when this course is over, whenever time allows, but do it in the next week or less, is to get a couple of those pictures. Name both and put the main attributes of both. The person that was scared, the person that's got the villain in charge, the person with lack of confidence, the person who looks for what's wrong, the person that looks in the rearview mirror, the one that's looking for the white Ford pickup trucks of what's wrong. And on the other side, the best version of you with the hero in charge, the one that is confident, the one that gets into flow state, the one that's not afraid, the one that moves forward, the one that gets proof of what's right, the white Ford pickups of what's right. Right, and moves forward. And write those attributes, and here's what I'm gonna challenge you to do so this sticks. Remember I said, I don't want this just to be a great course. I don't want you to be just motivated. I want this to stick. So how do we make this stick? I'm saying I want it to stick. I want you to want it to stick. So I'd encourage you to do this and then print it out. And I would put it in several places in your house. Like, of course, we're on computers all the time now. I say print because I love a piece of paper in front of me. Like, I have my notes in front of me right now. I have my journal in front of me right now. So I love to physically look at something. You could make it your screensaver for the next 30 days. You could tape it to your bathroom mirror. Whatever it is, I would love for you to be able to look at those every single day. Before, I mentioned my friend Brendan Burchard. Brendan's a great dude. I saw a couple of you said, love Brendan. He's such a good friend and a good human being. And Brendan had a high-level client who was trying to get back to her ideal weight. And she had tried everything. She was a businesswoman, she was a badass, and she was working with Brendan as a high-level business coach, but she said to him, I'm also trying to get back to my ideal weight. I just can't do it. I'm so busy. I just eat what's ever in front of me, and all these things weren't working. She was kicking butt in business and in family, but that part was lacking. So Brendan had her do something really simple. He had her literally get a life-size printout of herself on what she thought her ideal weight was, right? All of us want to be different sizes, whatever it is, right? But she found a picture of her with her ideal weight, got it printed at life size, and he said, put it in your kitchen. And literally every morning she had to come down to her kitchen and look at her ideal weight. 30 days, she was right on track and back. When it's in front of your face, you can't avoid it, right? So this little hack is we went through the process. Don't be like, oh yeah, that's one of those tools. That was cool, Dean, but I didn't do it. How bad do you want this? literally, you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to let your kids see. You don't have to let your spouse or your partner see, or your parents or friends. Put it where you could see it. Put it where you can see it. And just let that sink in. Because I look at these two people, I want to be, I'd love to take some of the years back, but I want to be the man I am now for my children, for my wife, for you, for the world. So that's definitely something to help anchor it in. And now I want to give you three additional things in this second part of module 5. This will be a little quicker, but I want to give you three quick things to really bring this home, to anchor it in. Number one, and this is really simple, who's committed to making a shift, right? Like, who, really, not dabbling, not just being inspired, but committed to making a shift, right? If you're committed, then you do the exercises, you go upstream, you print the pictures, you create the avatars. I'd suggest you do something a little different with your outer appearance. I know this sounds crazy. I heard this, I don't think it was Tony, it was somebody else I read this from. I think it was old school. Do something, I'm not saying go and get a completely new hairdo, cut off all your hair, change your style, but do something maybe that only you notice and it reminds you to be the best version of you. Maybe you wear your hair up for a month. Maybe you do get a different haircut. Maybe you wear something a little different. Maybe you go casual. Maybe there's something you've been dying to do. Maybe you've been dying to dye your hair, put highlights. I know a lot about hair because my wife's an amazing hairstylist. Maybe you want to get hair extensions. Maybe where you live, everything's closed down and you can't. Maybe you want to put a little color, or you want to part it to the side, or you want to get dark rim glasses because you've had light. I'm telling you. Or maybe you just want to put a bracelet on. My daughter, if anybody's got a daughter between 10 and 14, it was about a year ago, there was a phase, you know, like 2 years ago, it was slime, right? I don't know if you guys had kids or grandchildren. 2 years ago, it was slime. And then right after the slime, it was making these bracelets was the new thing. And my daughter, it broke down. I told her she got to make me another. My daughter, she outgrew it, so she didn't want to do it. But she made me like two bracelets in a row for two birthdays. And I would attach an emotion to that bracelet. And every time I'd see it, it would remind me of something. So maybe you don't do anything else except you get a little homemade cool bracelet at a store or on Amazon. You get one of those woven ones that match you. I'm telling you, if you could do something that can give you a daily reminder, a shift in your outer appearance, shift in your clothes, a bracelet, hair up, different color, something like that could be a trigger to go, oh, no, no, no. This is who I am. Maybe you named the version of you that you love. It's like, no, 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 this is Dean in charge. Not scared Dean, not Robert, that's my middle name, not Robert. I think the last time I did this exercise, I named the other guy Robert. I'm like, I'm not Robert, I'm Dean. I accomplish things. I take care of my family. I'm a role model, I'm a leader. I'm in control, I'm the thermostat, right? So bracelet, hair, glasses, something. That's one little hack. Number two. I want to share something I learned from a book and then watching video and something I thought was really, really powerful. It's from a lady named Byron Katie. I don't know if you guys know who Byron Katie is, but her work, it's called The Work. That's her book. And it's so powerful, so simple. And if you ever listen to Byron talk, she's got this cadence of like, soothing. I don't know how to explain it. Did you ever listen to someone's voice and you're just like, oh, I just trust Byron. Like, it's just this soothing voice. And I love how honest she is that she found this place in her life by bad experiences, by doing things wrong, by real life experiences, not studying and judging. Not that any of you would do that, but we all know some people who study, think they figure it out, and judge, even though they've never walked in those shoes, right? I love the fact that she studied and walked in those shoes and came up with this really simple process. And I want to go through it. I'm not going to do it justice. I would put Byron Katie's book on your suggested reading list. I love this. So she has these four steps, and I want to take you through them the way I look at it, right? Again, you want to go deeper with Byron, you should. But let me just tell you, the work, this part of it is super impactful. When a thought comes into your head that you're scared, like, he doesn't love me, it's not gonna work out, businesses like mine aren't perfect, I'm not gonna be able to build a team to work with me, it's the wrong time in history, all the things that will come into your thoughts, they come in, there's no way around it. What she says is the first thing you do when it's in there and it's talking to you, it's telling you play small, go back to who you were, you're never going to have love, you're never going to be happy, you're never going to be wealthy. First thing you say, is it true? Is it true? Like, I've done this so many times. Is it true? The question can change your life. Be still and ask yourself the thought. Ask yourself, what I wrote down, is it true? Now, after you say, is it true? The second thing she says is, can you absolutely know it's true? Because the first time you go, yeah, it's true. He's not that great. Yeah, it's true. I don't have money. Yeah, it's true. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. The second question is, can you absolutely know it's true? Now, if you think about that, that kind of starts to break apart this story. How many different variations have we used to kill the story, to kill the villain? This is another one. This is that last anchor I want to give you guys. This is another opportunity, I'm going to say in her words, to open your mind and go deeper into the unknown, to find the answers that live beneath what we think we know. How many times in life do we think we know the answer? And then we realize we didn't know crap, right? I can't believe she did that to me. And then you find out she never did that to you. I can't believe they left me out. Maybe they tried to call, it went to voicemail. Like, how many times do we think we know the truth, but when we dig under the surface, we're not absolutely sure, and we find out it wasn't actually true. And the next one, number three, is how do you react? What happens when you believe that thought, right? So think about this. You believe, I'm an introvert. The chance of me ever selling to someone else is not true. I can't do it. I don't have the capabilities. I'm scared. Then you think to yourself, is that true? Are you really lacking that? Are you really just an introvert? Every successful person I know is a massive introvert. But I'm just saying, you start doubting. It's like, oh, wow, this one's an introvert, and he was an introvert, and she was an introvert. Wow, they're really successful. You start doubting. But then you go back and think, when you think, I will never have love, how does that make you feel? When you think, I will never be successful, how does that make you feel? When you think, I don't know how to sell, that means I can never be in business, how does that make you feel? From her words is, with this question, you begin to notice internal cause and effect. You can see that when you believe the thought, there is a disruption, there's a disturbance that can range from mild discomfort to fear or panic. What do you feel? How do you treat the person or the situation you've written about? How do you treat yourself when you make believe that thought? When you believe that thought. You see, I can't read so well. Make a list and be specific. Think about that. Now, you have the opportunity in this course at any time. You could take a picture of this, but you can go back to this course. This course is yours. Go through this process of, like, you literally could take the time and say, what do I believe is true? Do I know that's true? And how do I feel? How do you feel when that's your truth? You know, we went through this in our own version earlier on of the story. How do you feel when your old story is in charge, right? But even looking through the eyes of Byron Katie, how do you feel when you tell yourself that horrible lie? It's the worst feeling ever. And again, I love how she wrote, it can go from discomfort to fear or panic. Let me just ask you something again. Who in here has told themselves something they painted as truth, and if you told it yourself enough, you had fear, panic, or anxiety? If you're really honest right now, I have. I've told myself a story so many times that I've put myself in fear, worry, panic, right? And then her last question changes it all. Who would you be without the thought? I know that sounds so simple, but who would you be without the thought that love isn't for you, that you're an introvert, that you can't sell, that you're not good enough, you're not rich enough, you're not smart enough, that no one supports you? Who would you be without that thought? If you just literally had the opportunity to extract that thought from your head, it didn't exist, who would you be? Oh my God. Imagine yourself, in her words, imagine yourself in the presence of that person or in that situation without believing the thought. How would your life be different if you didn't have the ability to even think the stressful thought? How would you feel? Which do you prefer, life with or without that thought? Which feels kinder? Which feels more peaceful? I really want you to let that sink in for a second. Like, if you want to read those words that are up on the screen, Read them to yourself. But think about that. Imagine yourself without that thought. Not having the ability to even think that stressful thought. And which do you prefer? Which do you prefer? Life with or without that thought? And which one feels kinder? And I ask you something. Which feels kinder to you? Think about it. And if you're not in a situation like this, if you have all good thoughts right now, congratulations. But will a bad thought come your way? unless you're absolutely figured out something I haven't, and Tony hasn't, and every single person I know in the world that's successful, unsuccessful, happy, there's no way around it. The wrong thoughts will come. But thinking about having the opportunity to go through another tool in your toolbox, is it true? Right? Can you absolutely know it's true? How do you react, or how do you feel when you believe that to be true? And what if you just didn't have that thought? What if you decided it just wasn't going to be a part of you? Now, I appreciate Byron Katie and the work and what she did, because it was a book I read at a certain time in my life that I needed that. I needed more reinforcement. I have to tell you, I want this to be the course that you lean on and come back to over and over forever. But no, it is, I don't know how many times I've said it, and I probably said it too many times, but this doesn't happen overnight. It's not magical. This is an evolution. I'm reading a book right now, again, for the third time. I'm reading a book as I'm recording this a course for you, How Will You Measure Your Life? I mentioned it several times through this book, only because this is something I continue to do the work. Byron Katie's book, I've read it twice over the last decade, right? They come to you at certain times in your life, but know that the reason I could put this course together is because of my life experience, because I've been obsessing in this industry for decades, because I surround myself with the right people, because I've listened to more books than most people ever will. I've attended more events, but I've actually implemented it and put it into play. I own 13 different businesses. I went through a divorce. I have children. I have employees. I have team members. I've navigated new territory and I've failed miserably. I've been broker than broke and I've had more success than I could have ever imagined possible, right? So it's the combination of all these outside learnings and putting it into play that I'm able to sit here without, you know, a script and share this with you. But I'm going to encourage you, love this course. Come back to it. It's yours. But don't be afraid to venture out. Don't think you got it dialed in. If you're feeling insecure, find someone who's already been there and learn their journey. And this is something else I really want you to think about. Take what serves you and put the rest on hold. What that means is, I read Byron's entire book, right? And a lot of great things stuck. But the thing that stuck with me are those four questions. I took what served me, kind of put the rest on hold, right? This training, I hope every bit of it is a part of you. I hope it all sticks, but maybe shifting your story. Maybe the seven levels deep, understanding your why. Maybe how to unlock your inner hero, unleash your inner hero, right? Awaken. Maybe the two pictures. Maybe some of the things we're talking about with Byron Katie. I don't care. I hope they all stick, but maybe there's three or four things, and guess what? Sometimes all it takes is one of them in play to start the snowball of going down the road that you want to be. Because think about this. If a snowball is on top of a mountain, anybody ever push a snowball and watch it get bigger and bigger and bigger, just like when you build a snowman, right? So much fun. If you don't live in a place that snows, then that's different. But most of us have played in the snow at one point. I always look at things like a snowball can be at the top of a hill. One goes down the side of the mountain that doesn't serve you, that doesn't bring you where you want to be, thoughts that will compound. One takes you down the side of the mountain to your next level, your full potential. You get to decide which side the snowball goes down. Because if it goes down the wrong side, it'll keep getting bigger, but it's going towards where you don't want to go. But if you get the snowball down the right side of the mountain and you keep incorporating all these little pieces and you go back to this and you learn it and you put it in play and you take uncomfortable action and you do work when no one's watching, all of a sudden the snowball is getting bigger on the right side of the mountain. Okay, that was the second extra tool. The third extra tool, and those of you that are a part of our KBB family or read my books, you might know this, but I'm going to remind you, is the importance of a morning routine. And that's why I want to go through my morning routine right now. But before I do, I want to talk about the importance of it to me. The importance of a morning routine. Give it any name you want. Use words, right? We already went through the words we use. Give it a word that means something to you. To encourage myself to do my morning routine every day, I have two words that I use. I either want to play offense or defense. Offense or defense. We talked about this a lot in the course. You can't win a soccer game by playing goalie the entire time. You can't protect your way to success. You can't protect your way to the next level. You can't protect your way through momentum. You can't just play goalie. You have to play offense. You can't win a game, can't win life by just protecting. And here's what happens. If you don't set your day up, for me, the words I use are offense and defense. I mess up my morning routine, I play defense the entire day. Who's ever had those days where all day you're just putting out fires? You're waiting for the email to come in with something going wrong. You're waiting for the phone call. You're waiting for the text. You're waiting for the call from the team. And you got good at it. You put those fires out. You solve, 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 solve. I'll fix this. I'll call this. I'll help the kids. I'll help this one. I'll help the employee. I'll help, 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 help. Help my coworker. Help my husband. Help my wife. And all of a sudden, what? It's 7 o'clock at night. You eat some food. You go to bed. The whole day, you played defense. You played defense. You didn't move down the field. You didn't take your life towards your next level. You didn't move towards your full potential. Do we have to play defense? Of course, but we need the balance of both. And I think we get so used to, especially in a shifting world, we get so used to playing defense that we don't even recognize that we're not working on the things that actually move the needle in our lives, right? We leave the temperature on the same thing. You think you're the thermostat, but you got it set on the same thing. You're not adjusting it up. We're either climbing or we're sliding. We're either growing or we're dying. I think we all agreed on that, right? So we have to set up a day for offense. How do we attack the day? How do we get into flow? How do we feel amazing? I want you to think of the fishing story, whatever it takes to say no to so you can be empowered, and say yes to so you can be empowered. So how do you decide that? What do you do? For me, the mornings are so important. And I have to tell you, I'm gonna tell you a little secret. I am not perfect and I mess it up. One day a week, 3 days a month, maybe more some months when I'm really busy. I gotta be honest with you, because I know the difference. I know when I knock it out of the park in the morning, my whole day is set up like, come on, what you got? I got this, I'm gonna put out these fires, then I'm moving forward. Right? If your to-do list doesn't have forward momentum stuff, just all the things you're working on and solving, then you're not moving forward. You wonder why you're working your ass off and you're staying put. You're doing like Lewis Howes did. You're fishing faster, but you're not catching any fish. You're just working harder, faster. Go, 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 go. You're on a treadmill. You're on a hamster wheel and you're looking over and someone's going past while they're walking. How are they walking? Get ahead of me. Look how fast I'm going. Because you're on a treadmill and they're just moving forward. What's the difference? All these little things. So for me, how do I set up a day for success? I'm gonna give you my version. You already probably have a morning routine and you might have one better than mine. And you might have one that serves you. I'm gonna remind you to be purposeful about it, right? Because listen, you're not here because you want a worse life. You're not here because you want an okay life. You're not here because you wanna keep your life the same. You're here because you want to accelerate your success. Whatever that means for you. Your business, your personal life, your health, your income, you want to accelerate that. I'm giving you the gas to make that accelerate, right? So what is a routine? For me, I want to protect myself in the morning. So this is the hardest one. This is the one I screw up, especially when I'm busy. But when I do it right, and I've gone 5 years doing it right, and then I'll fall off the wagon for like 6 months of on and off, and then I'll be back, right? Is I would suggest that at night, this doesn't stick by your bed, and the first thing you do is roll over and look at your phone. This helps us out so much. But also in the morning, it could be Russian roulette. Think about it. How many times have you got up in the morning and you just roll over and grab your phone and you look at a text or an email or something posted online and you go, oh, that's the first thought of your day. For me, I'm immediately in defense. I see you, Mona. I see you smiling because it happens to all of us, right? You're like, oh man, to me, I'm in defense, my day is ruined. Now, you might get a great picture, a great text, an I love you message, but what if it's a gamble? I'm telling you, and listen, I'll sometimes look just to make sure it's nothing urgent, but I won't open anything unless it's urgent. But I'm telling you, if you could put that on hold, get up a little earlier if you have to. If you get up an hour earlier, the world doesn't even know that you're not answering for the first hour. And I promise you, except for emergencies, there is no one that's going to call the texting police and say, oh my God, I texted her at 11 o'clock last night and I was thinking she'd text me back at 7:45. She hasn't. Please call the texting police. She needs to get back to me. Right? Like, that doesn't happen. But we think that. We feel like, oh my God, first thing, let me get this, let me get that. It puts your mind in the wrong spot. So, number one is try not to look at your phone. What if you just did it for a week? Try it for a week. It's brutal. If you do it, it's literally, you don't think you're addicted to your phone. Wake up and not look at it if you look at it every day. It is like, it's like you wake up, you're like, oh, and you're all over. It's like, imagine not doing that. So instead, again, you might have a longer routine. You might follow what Tony does, which is amazing. 15 minutes to thrive, or 30 minutes to, I forget the 30 minutes, or an hour of power, 15 minutes to thrive, and then there's 30, maybe it's 30 minutes to thrive. But Tony's got some great morning routines. I know for me, I'm not gonna do a half hour, an hour meditation in the morning. It's not my personality. I have friends that literally wake up and do a straight half hour meditation, and it puts them in such a great space. And if that works for you, that's what you should do. Get up a half hour earlier, do it. For me, I gotta make mine quick, but impactful. So here's my perfect morning. If I don't look at this, number two is, this is gonna be a drum roll. This is something you've never heard before. I practice a little gratitude. I say that as a joke, but it's the truth. Because we know it, we feel it, but sometimes gratitude, and I said this earlier in the course, is how many times have you had a gratitude journal and you run out of things to write? So what I'm gonna tell you I do is lower the bar of gratitude. What do I mean by that? Maybe it doesn't even, it's not grammatically correct. Meaning, it's not about the book, the $1 million, the perfect relationship. Like, wake up, I said this, but 150,000 people die every day. If you woke up and just said, oh my God, I'm here today to fight another fight. If we could find gratitude in that, everything above that is amazing. If you roll over, I literally say to myself at least once a week, God, this pillow feels so good. The sheets feel good. It's raining. It's not raining. My wife looks beautiful sleeping there. My son slept through the night. Like, the little things. Because all you're really doing is hacking your brain into going what's right, not what's wrong. If you go, oh my God, I can't believe that deal didn't go through. And yeah, yesterday I didn't get that done. How does your brain's like, oh, another shitty day. Let's go. Oh, why would you want to get out of bed, right? So we're just hacking the thoughts, hacking the brain. You leave this on pause, this little phone device, and you think about something you're grateful for. If you have a book like one of my books, MSH or Underdog Advantage or any book you like, maybe before you go to bed, take a highlighter and highlight two sentences. And if you can't think of gratitude, wake up, roll over, grab the book, and read those two sentences. It could be something out of Brendan's book, Tony's book, Trent Shelton, anyone. Old Wayne Dyer, Eckhart Tolle, anybody. Highlight a few things and read it when you first wake up. Again, it's just tricking your body into going the direction you want. The third thing, so no phone, and get your body in a state of what's right, not what's wrong, through gratitude. If you want to pray, it's fine too, that's great. Number three is, think of one accomplishment, one win you had the day before. You can think of three if you want, but here's what I know. We're pretty tough on ourselves, right? You ever go to bed at night and go, I didn't get shit done today. Excuse my language. I didn't do anything today. You're lying. You got a lot done today. You're just not giving yourself credit for it. Oh, I could have done so much more. Of course you could have. And that's what we're working on. But you need to acknowledge what you've done. So think about yesterday, and it could be personal or business, right? Oh, I had that experience where I took my daughter to practice and we had that great conversation on the way. Ah, oh, that feels really good, right? Watching my son hit. Oh, it was really good. When he got that hit and went on to second base, he turned and looked right at me. Could have looked at anybody. He looked at me. Ah, that's a win. My team, I had that great meeting with my team. They're on fire. They feel good going into this year. Oh my God, we had so many people take accelerated success for me. They're in the course. So many lives we get to change. Like something about the win the day before. It could be tiny, 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 or something big, but you had a win, but you usually don't acknowledge it. Decide what a win would be that day. Okay, today, what would actually move the needle? All right, today, I wanna get my course posted up on mastermind.com. Today, I wanna identify my superpower. Today, I want to make 5 phone calls to people that could work on my team. Today, I want to have that conversation with my husband so he's on board with me. Today, a win that you want to accomplish that day and anchor it, put it out to the universe. So just think about this. Think about waking up, looking at your phone, frustrated. Number 2, thinking about the crap you didn't get done yesterday. And then number 3, think about what's going to go wrong that day. How does that feel? And how does your subconscious feel compared to no phone, gratitude, reading a section out of a book that inspires you, thinking about, oh yeah, I did do good yesterday, pat on the back. Hey, today I'm definitely doing this. Think of those 2 people. You can look at that picture. You know which one is which. If you have your 2 pictures, you already know which one wakes up this way and which one wakes up that way. It's pretty damn obvious, right? Then, I want you to, on the next piece, is once you wake up and don't look at your phone, practice gratitude, 1 win from the day before, 1 win from the day of. Here's what I would suggest. This is your call. Wake up a little earlier if you have to. My next piece is I feel like I fed my mind, I fed my soul, and now it's time to feed my body. Now, this is just me. I'm telling you, you come up with your own routine. But for me, I feel like I want to be alkaline. I want to fuel my body with something great to start the day. Now, this is something, and the alkalinity thing comes from books I read in the past, something Tony triggered a decade or more ago. Then I went down the path of getting rid of acid in the morning. So for me, I do a green drink. So as soon as I wake up, I go into my kitchen, I go get a big old scoop of green powder, sometimes a lemon, sometimes I'll do a little shot of apple cider vinegar, just a little bit because it is, well, right? But I'll do that just to get in this place where I feel like I'm feeding my body. And I've added something, this is just me personally, you do your own thing. I used to just do that and go work out, now I need a little food, so I do a little oatmeal, right? But I do something where I fed my mind, I fed my desire to play offense. Now I wanna feed my body something good. So a big old green juice or a green shake or a little oatmeal with spirulina, and I feel like, oh my God, I just fed my something good, my body something good. And the next thing I do is I go move. Now, you might have to work out at night, you might have to exercise, maybe you haven't worked out in years. I'm telling you, get up 15 minutes early tomorrow if you haven't worked out in ages, and just go move. Take a little walk. You don't have to start off on third base. Move. That to me, if I can, and then my body, like my physiology, like going from feeding my mind, patting myself on the back, having gratitude, reminding myself of the wins I'm gonna have. Now I filled my soul with greens, health, natural stuff that was made by God. And then the next thing I do is I move my body. If I do that without interruptions, without jumping on this, my day can't go wrong. I don't care what you throw at me. But if I wake up, I look at my phone, there are days, I have to tell you, a couple times a month, where I'll get sucked into jumping on here. Who in here has ever gone to the gym and say, I'm working out hard today, but let me just check this one thing. And you sit on a bench or you sit on one of the workout things and you grab your phone and go, let me just check these few things. And you look and all of a sudden you look up and your hour is gone. And you're like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here. Nobody's ever done that, right? Like those things happen just like that. What if that just was not allowed? Because you are setting your day up to win. And if you think you're being selfish by taking maybe that hour in the morning for yourself, how much better of a parent can you be? How much better of a husband could you be? How much better of a wife, of a friend, of anything? Like, we get to be a better version of ourselves so we can show up better for our family, so we can be a better example. And one thing I'll tell you, get up an hour earlier. Go to bed an hour earlier. Like, you're worth it. Your days are worth it. Your next level is worth it, right? These are the little shifts. These are the little shifts that make the big shifts. So here's what we're gonna do right now. At the end of module 5, the second part, we gave you a couple little extra hacks. Like, I'm encouraging you to put that picture up, to complete that. Put it anywhere you could see it. Keep it private if you want. Then we talked about shifting your outer appearance or something, or wear a bracelet or different glasses or put your hair up or whatever it is, just to remind you that you're leaning towards that person on the right, the next level version of you. And then we talked about Byron Katie and her four-step process to really flush out those thoughts that don't serve us and get rid of them. Then we talked about a morning routine to set up our day for offense. Now, again, you might have an amazing morning routine and you just need to adjust it. And maybe you take a whole hour, like I said, meditation and stuff, but I want you to adjust it from what we talked about today. Or if you don't have a morning routine, create one that fits into your world, right? You might not be able to exercise in the morning. That's okay. Find a way to exercise at night. But how can you craft your morning routine? We have an exercise. Is what I'm hoping. That you'll craft it right now, that you'll share some of the things that you're gonna do or how you're gonna adjust some of the things that you do. And then I'm gonna encourage you to do it every day for the next week. And if you could do it for a week, you could do it for a month. And here's the thing to know. You could do it for a month, you could do it for a year. You could do it for a year, you could do it for the rest of your life. I promise if you do this for 1 week, if you're used to looking at this right away, that's gonna be your hardest one. But if you could do it for a week, nothing, the world's not gonna end. Not going to get arrested by the text police, the email police, the Instagram police, the TikTok police. Like, it's all going to survive without you. But watch how you can shift and watch how you can attack the days. Again, try it for a day, then a week, then a month, then a year, then a lifetime.